Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, July 28th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right side of the website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in Luke chapter 15, read by Alexander Sporby. Luke 15.
Chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose 1 piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
Well, John, actually, I have one brief announcement and a comment somebody sent in, but actually, we don't have any questions. Excuse me. So let me see if I can find the comment here first. You probably recall the Red Bill Expo was July 12th and 13th. And they put up a replay of the full 2 days events for people who missed it, and it's free. You can go now and sign in and listen to any one of the speakers, and there were a number of excellent speakers. The link for it I put in the front of the newsletter for this week. There's two of them there. If one of them doesn't work correctly on your computer, try the second one. And I would strongly encourage people to go and look to see what they had and take a look at it. Someone sent me a phone number here that they thought would be important. It's 609-663-1976. Now that's a call-in number to a Patriot organization known as the Eurofolk Radio or Radio Ranch. And it's on every Monday night, excuse me, Monday through Saturday, 11 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And I guess Brent Winters is often on the program. So if anybody is interested in listening to Eurofolk Radio or Radio Ranch, as it's called, the number is 609-663-1976, and it's a call-in. So just call in, tune in, and take a listen if you're so minded.
So what do? They do interviews and what goes on the programming?
Could you repeat that, John?
Yeah, what do they do there on that program? Do they take interviews? I'm wondering if we can get an interview.
That I do not know. We could always call and find out. I don't have any other information. I don't have an email or anything, just this number for the call-in for the program time.
Okay, well, maybe you get a chance. You can check in on it and try to find that some information, see if they're interested in interviewing us. And anybody else out there that's listening to us, you know, we should get out there and try to get some interviews going again. We've seen a lot of interviews, but we haven't had many in a while now. So
there was somebody a week or two ago that sounded like it would be a good place to check. Also, I'll see if I can dig that one up and check on that, too.
Right.
And that's it for today, or tonight.
So, but you said had one question, or this was just this announcement?
No, there were no questions, as in none.
Okay, well, that's a
not one,
first
yeah.
time in a while. So.
Yeah.
All right, well, the queue is open for anybody who wants to get into the queue. It's a *601 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button there if you're on an app or a browser. But tonight, what I'd like to do, though, is take a look and talk a little bit about committees of safety. Let's see, here it is. See if I can open this up. I think I put this up on our page, and this I was trying to, I haven't checked to see if it's there yet, but if not, I'll put it up there shortly. It's up under Start a Committee of Safety to find this paper we're going to look at, and you come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, and you should be able to find it. But basically what I want to do is just go through. Well, let's real quick go to the tools now. Because if you go out to this page, there's plenty of information on how to start a committee of safety, you know, how it's structured, and so on. So let me open that handbook tools. Okay, it looks like I'm not signed in. Let me move this over so I can sign in. Jan, are you saying something? Okay, I think I'm signed in now, so let me put this back up here. Okay, starting video safety, handbooks, videos, and tools. Okay, on this page here, you know, again, we put lots of information. We have videos, and one of the videos are introduction to the Committee of Safety. And then we do a breakdown of all of the different subcommittees that you'd want to create within the Committees of Safety. We have a video on how to create the charter, the resolutions, plan to meet your sheriff, Committee of Safety, Educational Committee, Political Committee, and then lots and lots of different papers and handbooks to assist people in running and structuring their Committee of Safety. But tonight, I want to just kind of go through this. And this, of course, is extremely important. Let me try to find a page that I had opened before. Hang on a second. By the way, am I coming through? It looks like I might have been disconnected here.
You're coming through.
I'm coming through? All right, well, maybe this is it here. No, that's not it. Oh, well, I can't find this. Hang on a second. Okay, this is it here. All right, I can see my page now. All right, this is extremely important. You know, I've been listening to a lot of things, of course, that's happening. I'm sure everybody else has. Trump's had a lot to say. He's been, every day you get something on Trump, he's really talking to the people. And there are a couple of things I wonder if he understands. I mean, he may understand it, but some key things he speaks about doesn't seem that he does understand it. I don't think, and none of these people in his administration seem to understand certain things that are extremely important. And the problem is, you know, they lack, just like we all lack, a proper education. And they removed the proper education a long, long time ago. And they were working on it for many, many years. And then eventually, of course, they removed God out of the schools by removing the Bible. I think it was in 1963, if I recall. But as far as a proper education, I don't think there's many people that are alive today that really did get a proper education from their schooling. You did get a proper education going back into the 1800s and the early 1900s, and I'm guessing that maybe around the 20s and or so they started to really start to destroy our education system. And eventually, of course, they moved into central control over the education. And then we've seen the results as time has gone on over the past years, a total demoralization of our children. And they train their people to become complete morons. They're not very, you know, they don't do anything to teach our children the correct things, and they teach them silly things and crazy things and demoralizing things. As a matter of fact, I don't think, I mean, if anybody else knows the answer to this question, I don't think that they even do the Pledge of Allegiance in school anymore. So if anybody has any comment on that, I'd like to hear that. But because I remember when I was in school, every day we said the Pledge of Allegiance. Every day we started off with a prayer. And all that seems to have disappeared out of our schools. So the key thing is education. Again, I listen to a lot of people in the administration that Trump has put together, well, a few people that you hear all the time, and they still call us a democracy. Some of them call us a democratic republic. There's no such thing as a democratic republic. That's an oxymoron. It's like trying to mix oil and water together. It just doesn't work. Just because we elect most of our representatives, not all of them, I don't know if we can say most, maybe some of them, you know, because we have judges that are appointed. Sometimes they're arrested. They should be arrested. Sometimes they're, you know, they're elected. But in any event, just because we do, you know, vote in what you call a democratic way, you know, it just seems logical. It makes common sense, which is part of common law, that you put in an individual that the majority agrees to put in. But that doesn't make us a democracy, because a democracy is, as who was it? Benjamin Franklin said it, a democracy is two wolves and a lamb deciding on what's up for dinner. And a republic is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. And that's a quote from Benjamin Franklin. What gives them the ability to debate and talk about our rights, to try to water down our rights, our rights to have a carry a weapon, and of course, and they'll give you one, but you have to go through their process, you have to skip through the hoops, and again, everything is restricted, a gun, how many bullets in the gun, et cetera, it goes on, and many places you can't even have a weapon, can't go down to New York City and carry a weapon, or you'll be arrested. And so I'm sure there's lots of other places throughout the United States that that's the same kind of a problem. But we've really run into a lot of problems with these people trying to debate and decide whether we have the right to, you know, to speak about this or to speak about that, for them to make the decision on what's truth, and they put up their lies. Or they have a place where you go stand here and you can talk over there, but you can't come here to talk. I mean, all these things, this is what goes on in democracy. This is why democracies are no good. This is why democracies fail. And this decision to change us into a democracy went a long, long time ago, even going back to the debates. And then they created the Democratic Party. And that's what put it into the minds of the people, like, hey, we may be a democracy, you know? And they constantly call us a democracy, a democracy, a democracy. Well, you repeat a lie enough times and the people believe it, especially uneducated people, because we're all ignorant and uneducated to the truth of who we are as a people, until those of us who decided to become educated and come to understand what's really going on and to understand who we are as a people, that we are a Christian nation, that the king of our court is Jesus Christ, that common law is the law of the land. That's what we find in the Declaration of Independence, that the Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God, requesting to receive the blessings of God's will and to live under his law. And within the Constitution itself, right, in the preamble, one of the six requirements of government is to secure the blessings of liberty. So liberty is a blessing. Our rights are unalienable. They come from God, not from men. Go try to tell these judges in the courts, because they seem to think something different. But anyway, this is fundamental to understand who we are as a people. We are a republic, and we're a very special republic. You know, there's something like 200 and some odd republics in the world. Okay, but we're the only natural law republic, which brings us under the Bible, brings us under morality, Christian morality, and again, we would expect to find justice in our courts, but we don't find it, because they've stole it from us, and the people don't even realize that they've stole it from us. They don't understand or realize how much of a slave they actually are. And I speak to myself first. I know that I'm still, to some degree, a slave to these people. They control everything. We're corralled like livestock, sold like livestock. And people just go on. One of the most amazing things, okay, that really should send a message home to the people is the fact of what they're exposing right now. And the people haven't seen anything yet. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Wait till they get down to the real nitty-gritty, what's been going on behind the scenes and with our government, and that the Satanists have really been in control, and the evil that they have been doing, the people that they've been killing to silence them, for whatever purposes, you know. You know, it could be someone, even inventors, they disappear them. You know, first they try to pay them off, especially if you come up with some kind of alternate energy. And they try to pay them off. They try to silence them every way they can. And when they can't do it, they just kill you. That's it. And they move on. That's that they tried to do to Trump more than twice, as a matter of fact. I've heard over the years, you know, going back, they've tried to kill him numerous times. I don't know how true that is, but kind of believe the sources I've gotten that information from. So I think there's a good chance that has been true, but they've been trying to get rid of him for a long, long time. But if the people do not become educated in who we are as a people, all this is for naught. You know, we have some real serious problems coming up our way. You know, let's take the economic system. Let's take Bitcoin, okay? I know a lot of people think the Bitcoin is a pyramid. It's going to collapse. There's no getting away from it. There was some well-known economist. I just was reading on the internet the other day. I'll have to find that. Maybe I'll post that information. And he was talking about the same thing. He says it can't go on. It's a pyramid. It's backed by nothing. And these people, you know, look at we've got fiat money, and look what's happening. Our dollar's worth a penny, and that's not a joke. Our dollar is literally worth a penny. You know, an ounce of gold used to be $20. That was like that for 100 years. That changed when the Federal Reserve came into play. An ounce of gold was 20 silver dollars. And a silver dollar would get you a lot. A penny would get you a lot. You know? I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to the movies. My mother used to send me to the movies and my brothers, my sisters, and we'd go to the movies and we'd get 50 cents a piece. And boy, we'd be in the movies all day. They'd play two, you know, a bunch of cartoons in the morning and then two different movies or whatever was going on. Get some popcorn, get a soda, and still walk out of there, and candy, and still walk out of there with change. I mean, that's how powerful money was, you know? You know, we got fiat money, and inflation, it's gonna bust. There's no getting away from it. We do know that Trump has a plan to repair this, move us back over to gold and silver. I do trust that. I know we've heard on Q many times, gold is going to kill the Fed. And you can see right now he's working on killing the Fed. He's working on killing the Federal Reserve. It's on its way out. And we are going to go back to gold and silver. And he's making peace across the world. And he's doing a lot of great things. And he said, I was elected not to take power, but to give power back to the people. People don't know how to take power. Let me just check something. Hang on a second. So anyway, people don't know how to have government by consent. They simply don't know. And they think it's something that's given to them on a silver platter that they don't have to do anything about it. You know, they don't have to get educated. They don't have to protect it. They don't have to uphold it, apply it, and require obedience to it. They don't have to do any of those things because they deserve it somehow. Well, we deserve nothing. We deserve only that which we work for and strive to hold and to uphold. And that's what we need to be doing, okay? Because the Constitution is not going to defend itself. It's not going to protect itself. And it people don't even know what the Constitution says. These people we put into office don't even know what the Constitution says. They don't know what the Bill of Rights says. Well, they know a couple of them because they really work real hard to get rid of them. Your right to be armed and your right to speak. And even your right to whatever religious beliefs you would like. But people need to wake up. And we, you know, people who are hearing these things, and what I want to talk about tonight, and again, we'll take questions in a while, but what I want to talk about is how to have government by consent. And once you know it, it's up to you. It's your duty to do something about it. It's your duty to protect this nation, to uphold this republic, to bring back knowledge to the people within your communities. This is your duty, because you're going to learn, and many people who already know this, I come here to our meetings, but there's new people, but a lot of people are not doing anything. I know I blow this horn all the time, and a lot of people aren't doing anything. You don't deserve liberty unless you protect it. And you have to train your children to protect it. Because they're psychopaths, they're sociopaths, and they are determined to take power and put you under their thumb. And we almost lost America because people have not done what they were supposed to be doing. Now, it is true, you know, we're brought up in schools and being educated in certain ways, so we've been propagandized, we've been, we didn't get the truth in many ways, we didn't learn about the Constitution, we learned a little bit here and a little bit there. I mean, today people don't even know who George Washington is coming out of school. Think about that. They don't even know who George Washington is. Thomas Jefferson, what he did, if they hear the name Jefferson, oh, he's a slave owner. He's some white slave home owner or something or whatever. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't understand what they've lost and what will continue to lose. And Trump can do everything, anything, and I do believe he's going to make America great again. And he's bringing peace to the world. And he's given us our nation back to us. And yet the people don't know how to keep it. They don't know how to maintain it. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about tonight. Because I tell you what, if people don't get involved to maintain it, to control it, to teach our children to do the same thing and their children's children, then we're going to lose it again. It's not going to take long. You know, many young people today, if the world continues on, you know, many young people today will, and if the people don't step up to do something, they're only going to find themselves right back to what we're just getting out of. We've almost lost this nation. I personally was ready, lock and load. I was ready quite some time ago. And it wasn't until 2017 when my eyes were opened that, hey, wait a second, we may be able to save this nation. You know, because Trump came in view, I listened very closely what he had to say. And I realized that he understood certain things and he was determined to make America great again. Because in his inauguration speech, 27, what was it, 20, that'd be 17, right? 17, 18, 19, 20, yeah, 2017. In his inauguration speech, that's when he said, I was not elected to take power, but I was elected to take power and give it back to you, the people. Are you going to take it? Are you going to keep it? You people don't even know what their rights are. Yeah, they know free speech and they know the ability, the right to have a weapon, but they don't know that they have a right to travel. There's a lot of things that they don't know. They don't even know that their rights have been taken away. A lot of people think we have courts of justice. I'm here to tell you we don't. We do not have courts of justice. And we can only get them back if we, the people, do something about it. So, anyway, committees of safety. We need to create county committees of safety in every county because this is the way we have government by consent. There is no other way. I challenge anyone to come onto this program and show me and tell me another way to have government by consent other than what I'm going to cover tonight. This is what our founding fathers put together. This is how they established this great nation of ours. And so it's up to you and your children, and your children's children, to seize control of this nation, maintain justice in our courts, and hold these people accountable, and get rid of these wackos that try to bring this nation down. Because we have that power in the political committees. If we create our political subcommittees within our committees of safety, we will have that power, and we can exercise it. So you have the Judicial Committee. You have an educational committee, you have a correspondence committee, you have a militia committee, and you have the political committee. Those are the main five subcommittees within a committee of safety. Now, there's plenty of other committees that people will discover, hey, we need to create a committee for this or a committee for that. Okay, and you'll create some of them may be just short-term to correct problems, and then once you correct the problems, you don't need that committee no more. But everybody in the committee of safety needs to be involved in something. Many hands make light work. So we all have to work together to do this. And no one person has to understand everything. You know, you will get people who will dig down deep that once we get going that, yes, we'll want to understand everything and be a good advisor and so on and so forth. But, you know, people will have different interests in different committees, and they'll get involved with that, and they'll have a little bit of work to do. And what's involved in a committee of safety, as far as time is concerned, the biggest thing is education. We need to educate ourselves. You know, you need to spend maybe an hour a day or so many hours a week looking and studying, you know, first of all, on committees of safety, how it works, and to understand the judiciary, the education system that we need to put together. They need to understand the political process. They need to understand how to put people into power, how to take them out. Because we could do that. Because people don't know that we can do that. But one person can't do it. United we stand, divided we fall. We must have people working together in every county to maintain this. That's what they have. They have what they call the committeeman process, which is a statutory process. They've robbed the committeeman process, statutorized it, put in party bosses, and they control the whole system. And the only thing they deal with is the political thing. Okay, they get these suckers, and I was a sucker for a while myself. Actually, I went in as a known, you know, I knew I was being suckered because I already was educated before I went in on this thing to become a committeeman. I was naive enough to think that, and others with me were naive enough to think that we can change it from within and go into the committees, the committeeman process, which is the political process, and take control and bring it back to the people. That was an impossibility. And we eventually ended up with what we have here, National Liberty Alliance. But their sole purpose is to carry petitions to put people on the ballot. And they're controlled by party bosses. Every county is controlled by four or five people. And every state is controlled by a handful of people also, five people on the state level. And they make all the decisions. They decide who's going to be on the ballot. And then they send all the information. And they make it look like you're voting. All the committeemen think that they're voting to put someone on the ballot. But it's all secret about voting, and it's counted in the back room more often than not. And then they put either the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. That's your choice, and that's what you get. So they bastardized the whole system that our founding fathers put together, again, by putting party bosses in place and then cutting away everything else. You know, they cut away the militia. They cut away the judicial committee. They cut away everything. Cut away our Constitution. And our founding document, the law, which is the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of who we are. But anyway, we need to create committees of safety in every county. And the Judiciary Committee, I'm going to read some information on what they do. They are a jury administrator's oversight, okay? You know, every county has to have administrators for the jury. We need four administrators plus one paralegal, and that paralegal should be administrator also so they can fill in place, you know, places someone goes on vacation or whatever. But so there's five people in every county. To take control of the juries, when we need to call the juries. We need to orientate the juries. We need to teach them the fundamentals of what they need to understand, and it can be done in one day. We wrote a handbook on this, which is really the layout for how we would really orientate the jury. And I'll put some videos together for that when we get that close, if we ever get that close, because it's up to the people to do something. And so, you know, these committees, again, let's take the Judiciary Committee, okay? They oversee the jury administrators. Now, jury administrators, we put together courses for the jury administrator. Now, we require anybody who wants to be a jury administrator to take all the courses we have. And then we have another course, which is a jury administrator's course, and we're writing a handbook for that purpose also, one handbook on structuring and how they would go about doing the business at hand. Right now, the judges, and who are bar attorneys, by the way, and bar attorneys, esquires, the minions of the New World Order, they control the judiciary. They control the courts. They decide what is law, what is not law, literally. They break the law all the time. They're just going to get their way, and that's it. You know, they stack the grand juries. They stack the trial juries. So anybody going into court, you're going to have all enemies. There's no one there. You know, there's the prosecutor, there's the judge. Neither of them are on your side. You've got juries who have been polluted, and they're not on your side. And even your own lawyer isn't on your side, because when it comes down to decision whether he or she's going to do something for you or for the court, well, the court's going to let it be known, you better do the right thing for us, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself without a license. And that's no joke. That's a fact. They need to fill these administrative vacancies. We're going back to the Judicial Committee. Support NLA to restore our courts. They are to monitor the jury administrator certifications. All members of the Judiciary Committee should take the court access and the common law course. They need to assist the people in the county with complaints against the government or anything within the status quo. They need to end jury tampering and stacking, and that would be done by jury administrators. And by the way, the jury administrator is a full-time job. We're looking to take the jobs away from these people who control our courts and give it back to where it belongs, the people. You know, people don't realize in a court of record, there is no judge but the people themselves. They are the tribunal. They make the decision. They decide whether the person is innocent or guilty. They decide the law. They decide the facts. And they also decide the punishment with an iron restitution. They also have the ability to apply mercy. You will find none of those things from the courts that we have today. All of our courts have been totally bastardized. They're destroyed. They're chancery courts. Chancellors run the courts. These people, how is it that a free person is judged by the help? How is that? You know, just think about that. We've lost our sense of logic. We've lost who we are as a people. People need to wake up and do something. And if we refuse to do anything, woe is us. And you're not doing anything for your children. You know, our children are in real bad shape these days, you know. Children are pretty much living home, even when they're getting 18, 19, 20, 22, 25, 30. They're living with their parents still because they can't afford to go out and buy a home. They can't afford to do anything. They sit on computers all day long and just rack out their brain to the mush. Wait till AI gets a hold of what's going on. We the people need to do something about this. You better wake up soon, because there's not much time for this. AI is the downfall of mankind. It is the down, and it's moving quickly. You know, nobody will write books no more. We got AI, and they're going to write books what they find on and maybe how they're programmed to some degree. But whatever they do, they're going to find on the internet all this fake news and false stuff, and you're going to get bullshit. You're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get the true health information. You know, they'll keep filling you up with all of these pharmaceuticals and send you to these doctors for this or that. And if, you know, I go to a doctor only for one reason, just to make sure everything's working good for me. And if I have a problem, I'm not taking no pharmaceuticals. I'm looking for supplements and vitamins, what deficiency is in my body, what I need to do to fix it, to keep me healthy. And that's what, and I found that about, I don't know, eight years ago or so. Prior to that, I was falling apart. My life had turned around since I found that and realized that. Stay away from that pharmaceutical crap, because it's not. But, you know, there are some good things that come out of that that are useful, but most of it is no good. It's destructive. It covers up. It just masks your illness, and it maybe treats the symptom, okay, but it doesn't fix the problem. And then while you're trying to mask the system over here, it's causing problems over here. It's killing your liver, or it's killing your kidney, or whatever. It's destructive. It throws your body into an imbalance. Let's go to God and get the solution to these things. All right, anyway, the Judicial Committee, this is their job, basically, what is to be done. And remember, you know, here's the requirement. You need to come together once a month in a meeting. Live, not on the internet, live in a place, a physical place in the county, to discuss situations and actually run a committee. And so that may be 2 hours, 2 hours a month, maybe half hour, an hour driving to and from. So let's say 3 hours for that. You need to educate yourself. You need to do at least 4 hours a week, you know, 45 minutes a day, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Saturday or whatever, but do a few hours a week. Get educated. Education is only a matter of really just reading, okay? You don't have to remember anything. You just have to understand. When I learned this a while back, you know, I don't try to remember anything. I just try to understand it. And if I don't understand it, I go back and go over and over and over again until I understand. Maybe look up some key words that I'm just kind of missing what they really mean. And by doing that, and then you move on and you build the next thing up on top of that, and the next on top of that, then it becomes part of you. The more time you spend in these things, then the better your memory is as far as being able to articulate these things. But I don't even struggle to remember anything. Just understand it and spend time with it. And again, the more time you spend in any subject, the better, the greater you become in that subject. And so that's what people need to do. So we have to have an educational committee. And that educational committee is to educate, as far as time, then also during the week, everyone is given a little bit of work, okay, which may take up an hour or even 15 minutes a month. That'll be about it. You know, and they come back with their tasks, and they meet within their subcommittees, they put their information together, and we develop and put it together into the committee at the committee meeting. Okay, so maybe you have to, in order to have liberty, in order to have government by consent, in order to have a government that respects the people, that is obedient to the people, this is what you have to do. You're going to have to give up maybe 5 or 6 hours a month. People say, well, I'm busy. I don't have the time. Well, then, you know, look at, you want real money? You're not going to get real money if you don't control your government, because you're going to lose it again. We don't even have it back yet. We don't even have real money back yet. Okay? So people say they don't have the time or whatever. Well, then you don't have the unalienable rights you think you have, because you're not being protected. Yeah, you may have them, but they can't be executed. Because people are going to walk all over you in these courts. And that's what they do. Go to traffic court. Everyone's guilty. Go to any of these courts. Everyone is guilty. We need to encourage members to attend NLA's Monday night meetings. That's in the educational committee. We ask a question. We have a test out here. Could you have passed the 8th grade test in 1895? On the page I told you before with the handbooks, so you'll find that test. People should open that test up and see if they can pass it. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that nobody in this room is able to pass that test. And that's an 8th grade test, 1895. That's how deficient we have become. We need to educate all members to take and encourage all members to take the following NLA courses: Government by Consent, Foundation Studies, Civics Course, and Constitution Course 101. Those are free courses, with the exception of Government by Consent. We ask people to give us $5 a month or more to support us. And if you can't afford that 5 months, you let Jan know, and we'll let you in for free. We do have a few people. You know, it's some people, it's that bad. It's bad for all of us, as a matter of fact. Well, it's hard for me, too. We need to run campaigns. The Education Committee needs to run a campaign to restore our republic in the minds of the people, because they think we're a democracy. They don't know what justice is. They don't know what a court, how the court works. They don't know that they haven't got unalienable rights anymore that's protected by the Constitution, because they trashed the Constitution. They just trash it. So we need to encourage people to take these courses, and even to go out into your community to get people to join up, pass out flyers, encourage people to come get educated, and so on. You do need to do campaign to restore a republic in the minds of the people, campaign to restore our founding documents via education, campaign to restore our Christian heritage, because that's who we are. You know, we have a communist running for mayor down in New York City. How could that be? That would never happen when I was a kid, or even a young teenager, a young man. That could not happen. Okay, you can be a communist in heart and soul. You can express your communist views and do whatever you want. But if you are elected into an office, you can't bring that kind of a government in to our government, to change our government, to change who we are as a people. That would be a violation of the Constitution. You know, and again, you know, we are created under the idea through Israel, going back in 1600 B.C., when Israel was a nation, and they were, developed, and that's the kind of government we have. We're structured directly underneath them. And when Israel was moving, wandering for the 40 years, eventually settling down, crossing into the Promised Land, but they wandered for 40 years. And as they passed by different communities, people would visit, and a lot of people would attach themselves to the Jews because they liked their government. And they were welcome to join. Don't try to change our government. You know, back then it was a religion, you know. But in any event, and it was a government. But it was a government structured under logic, common sense, an eye on justice. And that's what we need to really redevelop, to really bring back to who we are as a people. So we need to run campaign to restore our Christian heritage. We need to run, this is what committees of safety need to do, campaigns to educate people in the difference between what is law and what is equity. People don't know the difference. Equity is legislative law. And even that is to operate under the rules of common law, which requires it to have common sense, which requires it to be just like the law, to be just and right, because the law ultimately is, again, let me tell you, first of all, the law comes right from the Bible. Ultimately, that's the law. But generally speaking, the law is written in the hearts of men. And we execute that law as jurists, okay, by just exercising our logic and common sense with an eye on justice. That's common law. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. That's common law. And that's what people need to do. People don't know that. We need to restore, again, this is the educational committee. They need to restore sovereign authority via the education. We need to visit schools and talk to the kids in school, talk to the administrations in the schools. We got a lot of plans on education and handbooks and materials, which I'm not going to get into the details tonight, but we can spend all night on that, many nights on that. And I'm sure people come up with a lot more ideas and realizations of what they could do to bring education back to our children, to get them to be respectful, to get them to be moral, get them to be understand that they have to give back because they've been blessed with such a nation, with such a foundational law that we have, the laws of nature and of nature's God. We need to restore sovereign authority via the education. We need to restore grand jury authority via education. We need to restore our pedigree authority via education. If you can't pull the wool over the eyes of the people, they can't do it to you, then they can't take your government away from you. They can't bring us to the brink of destruction, which is where we're at today, and we're being saved at the last moment, ultimately by God. There's the Correspondence Committee. They have certain duties also. They need to register the Committee of Safety here with NLA. We have a place where you can register it under our directory. They need to maintain correspondence with NLA. They can come and ask questions. We'll give them all kinds of ideas. We won't tell the Committee of Safety what to do. We don't give anyone marching orders. But we do want to teach people so they can figure things out on themselves. They have to be free and independent. And that requires an education, not just haphazardness to go and start something and just make it up as they go. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's already been invented long, long time ago, even before our founding fathers. Our founding fathers just discovered it, particularly Jefferson. And we have, again, the structure. This is the structure. This is how they created a nation. This is how they governed themselves. Assist other counties to create committees of safety and work with other committees of safety, because you can't do anything if you're not working with other committees of safety. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. You need to have a militia committee. And everybody is part of the militia. You know, if you go into the New York State Constitution and you look up to see what a militia is, it's every able body in the state. Every able body in the state. That's the militia. But you can't have a weapon. At least they don't want to give you a weapon. It's hard to keep a weapon here in New York. Educate our county sheriff. We need to maintain a relationship with that sheriff. We need to create the unorganized militia within our counties and connect with other counties. And there's a plan for that also. You have the political committee, and the political committee is to assist statesmen to get on the ballot. We need to require their education. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to do another presentment to President Trump. Particularly on this issue here, okay, where statesmen need to be educated. How many people in office, they haven't got a clue on what the Constitution says. They don't even know our Bill of Rights to a large degree anyway. And we need to require them to know these things. How can they govern us if they don't know these things? How can we be a republic if they don't know these things? So we need to assist statesmen to get on the ballot. You want to get on the ballot? You come talk to us? Well, okay, go here, get this education, come back, we'll talk some more. Because if you know and understand, you know, what your powers and authorities are, then we're going to support you as a statesman. And you're going to be obedient to that Constitution. And if you're not going to be obedient to that Constitution, we'll take you out as fast as we put you in. 90 days to remove anyone through recall. People don't know about that. That's exercising government by consent. We need to organize all committeemen to walk petitions. So everybody that belongs to the committee during the time of election to put people onto the ballots, we need to walk petitions to put them onto the ballots. So we need to put good people onto the ballots. And so everybody comes together. You might have to go get 10 or 15 signatures and that's it, you know. You got 20, 30 people walking for the, you know, for the election of an individual to some office, and you get so many signatures for whatever office it is that you're getting signatures for. But you're also working with other counties because the counties are gerrymandered. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes anyway. So, again, we need to also monitor the representatives. This is the political committee's job. If you're not willing to do these things, then you don't deserve liberty. You don't deserve the rights, the unalienable rights that you've been given, because you can't have them. You can't protect them. You can't defend them. You don't even know them. I speak to myself first. We need to recall representatives who violate their oaths. We make that phone call. We make the correction. They get out and be corrected, and if they don't, we take them out of office. That's government by consent. People aren't doing that. You need to support, every committee has to support NLA to restore the following via United States Common Law Grand Jury, okay? We need to nullify the Rules Enabling Act. We need to restore common law and courts of record. We need to restore, and we need to be supported to do these things. You can't do this without support. We need people working, doing things, and creating the committees of safety, and then supporting us financially. Restore the common law rules. Restore Amendment 13, the original 13th Amendment. No esquire can have an office. Anybody who belongs to the bar, they cannot be in the courts. They cannot be an elected individual. It's what the 13th Amendment is very powerful in what it says. They lose their citizenship. And they can't hold an office of trust because they are opposition to the laws of people. Yeah.
An office of trust, doesn't that also mean that they can't even run their own business? Doesn't it mean that as well?
I never thought that out. I'd have to think about that. You know, people could do what they want. They could believe what they want. They educate themselves as they want. But they can't come into the government to execute things that is contrary to who we are as a people and who, you know, what our Constitution says. So that's the real key. But we'll talk about that another time. I have to think about that.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so we need help, we need the support. We need to restore the 13th Amendment, and we need your support to do that. You know, we need to get the word out. We've kind of slowed down. We've been hovering close to that 12,000 mark, and we're just creeping very slowly. We need that critical mass. This critical mass is what's going to really put this thing onto the map, because we need to hit 1 million people in order to get maybe 50,000 people or 20,000 people, you know? And that really will get up and do something and take care of business and exercise their right of government by consent and work with us to educate our children, to require, put it into the minds and their hearts that this is their duty as a person. You're being blessed to live under a nation that lives under the laws of nature and of nature's God, with unalienable rights, the right to do as you please as long as you don't injure another person, you know. This is who we are as a people, and you need to protect that. We need to teach our children that, you know. We need to teach our children, you know, to get up there and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, because it's the republic for which it stands is what we're talking about. We need to restore the law of the land, because it's gone. It's gone. A long time now gone. 1938, gone. Doesn't exist no more. The law of the land is gone. I mean, we need to beat that into our heads, into the heads of the people who are not listening. You need to understand we've lost it. It's gone. We have an opportunity to retrieve it right now. We need to restore the Bible in school. The Bible was part of our education until 1963. Or maybe 62. I don't remember what year. It was 62 or 63. And that's when the Bible was removed from the school. You know? I thought they couldn't make any law about that. We need to restore habeas corpus. I'm here to tell you habeas corpus does not exist in our courts. The fundamentals of a court, the right of justice, the right of a hearing, you don't have that right no more. You come in, if you remain, you're going to have to plead guilty or not guilty, and then you start to participate in their civil court, civil law court. There's a criminal law court too, you know, whatever, same thing, garbage. And, you know, and if you won't plead, they'll plead for you. And you'll be railroaded, because everybody's guilty. There's money in people being guilty. You need to understand that too. We need to restore the right of free access, the right to practice law, free access into the courts, that is, right to practice law. That's a right, an unalienable right to go in and defend yourself and to take care of your own business and even to assist others. We have that right. We don't need to get a bar attorney who's part of the destruction of America, the minions of the New World Order. They don't work for you, they work for the court. The Chancellor Court. We need to end political parties. Parties must, people actually believe that a republic cannot run without a two-party system. They really believe that. This is what destroyed this nation, bringing us little by little, right to left, right to left, right to left, to the destruction where we're at right now, to the brink of destruction. But we can end, political parties have no place. There's nothing for them to discuss. That's what political parties do. Look at what the Democrats do. Look what they're doing. They know in the heart of heart they shouldn't be sticking up for these crazy things. And they all run as a block. No, they should be running representing you. That's what they should be representing. And if they're representing you in their heart, they'll tap into ultimately, collectively, they'll tap into the will of the nation. But with parties, that cuts it right off. You can't do it. They're too busy discussing on whether you're going to have a weapon or not, whether you're going to get a permit or not, what it's going to cost to get into a court. Do you want this right? It's going to cost you that much. Making money off you every way and every turn you can. The tax man hits you for everything over and over. It doesn't end. And you always lose in a court. You always lose in the courts. Occasionally a miracle happens. And I say a miracle. You need to support our work for jury administrators, creating, you know, getting them into position, educating them, to provide the proper education, K through 12. We need a real education. This is something, again, do I want to do, if you get a presentment to Donald Trump again on education. This is the key thing here. They need to require any school that is receiving any federal monies must give a proper education, who we are as a people. They need to nullify the 17th Amendment to restore state sovereignty. Because right now, states have been eliminated from the process. They have no vote in Washington, D.C. None. Those senators are elected by the people and controlled by the special interest groups, just like our representatives, controlled by special interest groups. They got to go. We don't need, you know, special interest groups. You know, we need these people representing the people, their constituency within the districts that they live in, and representing the people. And they will never, ever, 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 ever do that as long as we have parties. They will be on the party line, and that is it. And they think that that's the way to go. Every once in a while, you get a little bit of a rogue here or there, a Ron Paul that bucks the system. A Donald Trump. Okay, anyway, that's what we have to do on committees of safety. Now, I just want to review this real quick. This is a map of the U.S. Congressional District of New York, okay? And there are 27 districts, it looks like, all together. So each one of these little sections, okay, is, you know, you'd elect a congressman that represents these different areas. It looks like 27 different areas. So there's 27 different districts, one congressional district for New York. Each state has the same thing. And it's all gerrymandered. You know, I understand they have to collect a bunch of counties together, but they cut pieces out of a county in order to make it more Democrat, and maybe the Republicans do it too. But the Democrats are big on this. They've done a lot of gerrymandering in order to get the vote in, to get their seats filled, Democrats. But the Republicans, to some degree, do the same thing. They do gerrymandering, too. But in any event, you know, it should be, all these lines should be on the county lines. This group of counties here, that group of counties there, this group of counties here, that group of counties there. And it shouldn't be gerrymandered, because that's all for the purpose of trying to get this section that's all a lot of Democrats in it and say, well, let's pull that in here because we'll be able to win the seat by having this many more Democrats here. Then there's the Assembly District. Here in New York, we have 150 Assembly, okay? And they are broken up into 150 sections. Look at all of this gerrymandering going on, all these strange shapes and different things. And it even gets worse, I think, on the next map, okay? But again, you need to be working with other counties that share the representatives that you share. And when the time for election comes, when time for walking papers, you have to have a meeting with maybe two or three different counties to discuss, okay, you know, let's interview people who want to be statesmen, who want to be elected to these positions, and let's think about it and talk about it. And you bring your information back to your counties, and then they get all that information, and then we decide who we're going to walk papers for to get them onto the ballot. You're not going to get onto the ballot unless you get a certain amount of signatures. So you have to walk petitions. Then there's the district map, the U.S. New York Assembly district map. Again, the same thing here. There's 62. Now, we have 62 counties. What do you think that means when you think about 62 assembly districts and 62 counties? You would think that each county has its own assembly district, but they don't. But they should be. We need to get it back. None of these things are going to change unless the people change it. Nobody's going to change this. Only you can change this. Okay, and I guess that's it. So anyway, in order to have government by consent, the people have to be active. It's up to the people to do it. It's up to us. All right, hopefully we have people in the queue. Let's see. And we got a few people in the queue, okay. Anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or browser, you know, there should be a button there. Anybody coming in on a phone, you should look into considering coming in with a browser. or coming in with an app, because this way you can see our desktop as we talk about different things. But, you know, again, it's better if you have the visual as much as the audio. And, of course, we post these meetings up on YouTube. We post them up on Rumble. And we also have MP3s you can download of the Monday night meetings and also of our Bible studies. Okay, so we'll take our first person in the question here in the queue. Bob, you got the mic. What state you from, Bob? Bob, you got the mic. What state you from? Maybe you're muted, Bob. I mean, we muted you on this end. Maybe you're muted on your end. It looks like you're on a computer. Got a headset there. One more call for Bob. You got the mic. Okay, Bob's not responding. Okay, we'll talk. Go to our next caller here. Give one more second or two. Again, if you're talking, we're not hearing. Maybe you're muted on your side. Okay. It looks like Caleb, you got the mic. What state?
Thank you. Yeah, my name's Kalen. I'm with Iowa Republic.
Okay, you got the mic.
Yeah, I love what you're talking about. I think there's a wide array of topics today, but I kind of want to hone the focus to bring applicability to the listeners, whether they've been doing this for as long as you have or this is their first call and they're being broken out of the matrix with a culture shock. I think that giving a summary of the six primary branches of government would be highly beneficial, and then giving a roadmap to networking with assemblies local. You laid out the direction to make that happen, but let's give some applicable steps to give people places to go to find those people, because we don't have the social skills that we had even 15 years ago. Now, we can blame it on the internet, we can blame it on social media, but let's talk about the solutions. If you don't mind, would you summarize each of the six primary, I know there's more, primary branches of government, and maybe hone in on the three of the people, two of them being militia and assembly. I don't remember the third one, but then give us some applicable steps to find a local assembly to build our own, not militia, but committee, connect with like-minded sovereigns on a weekly or monthly basis. Thank you.
All right. Well, of course, first there's a federal level. There's three branches on that. And there's three branches on the state. And then, of course, there's the county. These are all governments. There's the county government, and then, of course, there's city governments, town governments, and village governments. And all of them have their little things going on, different things. They're not to be writing legislation. The only legislation is supposed to be written on a state and federal level, and that's where legislation comes from. But I know counties, a lot of counties will write legislation, because a lot of them write these laws, you know. And it's all unlawful. It's not part of the process that should be happening. But in any event, then there is, you know, the people are not a branch of the government, although some people think they are. You know, United States versus William, Anton Scalia said that the people are a kind of fourth branch. Kinda. They're not a fourth branch at all. No, we the people are the government. We have government by the will of the people. Okay, the problem is the people are not exercising their will. And the reason they're not exercising their will is because they lack the education to do so. They should have been taught this in school. We need to teach our children this, and we need to learn it if we don't know it. So we need to learn these things. Now, as far as an education or finding a committee of safety, first of all, you come to our directory here, and anybody that's watching that's online, either an app or a browser, should be able to see what we're doing. And this is recorded. It goes up on YouTube. That's why I suggest people to watch it. You can find that under today's issues. And if you click on our Monday open forum videos, you will find all of the videos that we have for Monday night. Okay, these are Rumble. And you can go directly to Rumble. Unfortunately, If you have a, if you're paying for Rumble so you don't get the commercials, or YouTube so you don't get the commercials, when you go onto a website and you click and watch it there, the commercials still come through. But of course, you can come down, and once you click on this, Rumble will show up in the right-hand corner. You can click on that; it'll take you right to the Rumble page, and you won't have the commercial if you've got a paid version. It's only a few bucks a month. It's so annoying, all those commercials. As a matter of fact, I put these up, and I never checked the boxes to be participant in you know, making any money on this, because that comes with the commercials. But they did it anyway. So, you know. But in any event, going back to who we are as a people and what we need to do, and as far as going to our directory, anybody who wants to create a committee of safety, this is where it starts, at the directory. Okay.
And where can they find that?
Right here in the blue line here, or the blue line here on the top of the website, you highlight directory. I mean, if you click on directory, you should go right to the page anyway. Okay, we've broken things up into 10 districts, okay, and you will then be able to find your state, okay, and what state did you say you were, Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa.
Okay, so I'll click on Iowa, okay. Iowa has 98 members, we have 99 counties, we've constituted them all. You have three committees of safety going in process, one in Benton County, Bremer County, and Page County. So if your county isn't here, you know, you can come up here and you can put your first name, or you can put your, you know, click the buttons. And what happens is when you register onto this page, you'll find your first name, your county, and your phone number. We don't give out emails. And so now people can come up here and see and connect with you through this. And whoever does this needs to maintain a relationship with NLA, which we need to develop that a little more, because we need to go, you know, really we need to go professional, but we're not going to be able to do that until we get money, so we're all volunteers here. But in any event, if you sign up here and you want to build your committee of safety, you can then get in touch with Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. And request for him to give you a list of people in your county, the counties close to you, all the county, everybody in the state. We'll give you their phone numbers, their first name and their phone numbers. That's what you'll get, and what county they're in. And you can communicate. You know, and it's a good thing, you know, here in Dutchess County, we're looking to get together with other people in Orange County and Ulster County and work together as we develop our committee of safety. We just started talking about that on our last meeting. And so we'll work with other counties, and we'll share the meetings in the different counties in the beginning as we grow, okay? And then as we grow enough, then we'll break away and work only within our counties. But from time to time, we have to work together. During the political process, we've got to work together, okay, because we have to work together because we share, different counties will share, the same representative maybe for someone on the federal level, for instance, you know, your congressman. So anyway, communications with other counties is extremely important. And as we get going and you develop enough and things are going, you know, we want to work out the militia. Everybody's in part of the militia. We need to work that out with our sheriffs to assist us. Maybe other people who have been in the armed forces, maybe people who were in, have a militia going somewhere, they can assist us, and we can become educated. And we probably should come together, each state come together once a year, maybe on the 4th of July. I don't know, that may be a good time to do it. Maybe up in the Capitol. Come together as an event, you know, with a big picnic and different things going on, you know, target practice and you know, doing things for kids. Just getting a big thing going in the state. And every state should be doing the same. And so anyway, that's what we need to do. Now, as far as educating ourselves, okay, if you go here on the blue bar and click on Start a Committee of Safety, okay, just read through here, and there's a breadcrumb trail, lead you right through, okay, through the information. Eventually, you'll be led to this page, Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And these are handy. I put these videos together on this page for the sole purpose of presenting to the people the Committee of Safety, and over a period of time, we meet with large groups and we present it. And so these are, a lot of these videos in here are short videos. I'm wondering if this page is down or something. This is coming in through Rumble. I notice that Rumble is offline a lot. I don't know why, what's going on with that.
One last question for you. If someone's just starting to try to privatize or escape the beast, what are the main three documents that can help them along their journey to get started?
When you say the beast, you know, first of all, the beast has a biblical reference to mankind.
Yeah.
But maybe you're talking about Leviathan, which ultimately would be the New World Order, and with their tentacles all the way down into every country.
Yeah. For
right
us,
into,
it would be the United States Corporation and separating from the legal fiction that we're misnomered with.
What's your question on that now?
What are the main 3 to 5 documents people can start to utilize for themselves to separate themselves from the legal fiction and separate themselves out of the corporate United States Corporation to start to privatize and gain their rights back? Because if they identify as a United States citizen, they don't have these Bill of Rights. They don't have the 13th Amendment. They don't have rights. They have privileges granted to them by the government and administered a fee. So how do they, to be able to gain access to those rights, they need to privatize. So what are the first things they can do to begin that journey?
Well, we have a constitution. We have the law of the land. And the law of the land is that constitution.
But that's only for free people. That's for free people, not for citizens.
Yes, I understand. I understand where you're coming from, and I understand your thinking to a great degree, as a matter of fact, because I've learned all that stuff myself in the beginning, and I went and filed papers in the county and did a lot of different things, and only to realize it didn't make any difference. I still go into a court. I can't click my heels and find myself transported into the court of justice because I had done these things. I didn't give up my citizenship. I thought that was a little extreme. But I started educating myself, and I started to see different pictures. I went to see what our founding fathers were doing, because that's where you want to start. And this goes back to the beginning. It actually goes back, you know, it really goes back to like 1750, ultimately, when Benjamin Franklin really gave the king a hard time. But in any event, the key thing to taking this back is calling it for what it is. It's all a fraud. They have no power. They have no authority. They've seized power. They've seized authority. They're being really destroyed right now. A lot of them are going to end at in jail, and hopefully many of them, no doubt a large sum of them, are going to end at the end of a rope, okay, a short rope. And so that whole thing is going to disappear. And then we'll be back under the Constitution again. But it's up to us to make sure that happens, number one. The National Liberty Alliance is working diligently to do that.
How can individuals do this? Because I love
this is a long answer. Yeah, this is a long answer. Let me finish, and then you can ask the question. So, you know, we have put together, we've filed a lot of papers. If you go to our front page, right now these videos aren't showing up, but we'll come back to this page in a minute. But if you go just to our front page here, okay, you can read the papers that we have filed. Okay, the last paper we filed was a redress of grievance to open our natural law courts. And we sent a copy of this to President Trump and all of everybody in his administration, plus others, about 45 people, with a cover letter to them. We sent a copy of that, and of course, you know, we sent it to the Attorney General. We did a presentment. You should read these papers. A presentment to President Trump and Attorney General Bondi. A presentment to the President Trump again. We did an indictment upon the federal judiciary. I should be reading this from the bottom up, really. But we put it up at the latest. A presentment to the United States Supreme Court. And an addendum to the grand jury presentment. Okay. So we've sent a lot of papers. And I want to send another paper. I want to do presentments to President Trump. And one of, you know, a couple of things I really want to focus in on. We'll talk about that maybe later. But these are the things we've done. In order to get our nation back, okay, we have to get our courts of justice back. And I do know that Trump is working to hopefully get rid of every federal judge. We indicted every federal judge in the United States, every single one of them, because every single one of them is guilty of the same crime. You know, they have violated the Constitution so many ways. They brought in, they've closed our courts of justice. You can't get in there to open a court of record. They've closed those doors. They created civil law. They didn't have the ability to do that. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them. They robbed us because first they made us ignorant, and we got lazy. And then, you know, we have no knowledge of what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, that's when the enemy comes in and takes control of everything. And they've taken control of everything. And only by the grace of God, a type of Osiris, I think, is what God has sent us. God says that he raises up powers and brings them down. He does that through people. He'll use one government in order to bring judgment on another government. He done that. You read your Bible. The Old Testament's filled with that kind of judgment. So God's very active in what's going on in this world. Okay,
100%.
Well, we've become complacent, and he has sent us a, you know, if my people who call by my name shall humble themselves and pray, he'll heal our land. And I do see that movement happening, okay? Everywhere I go, you know, we're starting off with prayers. We talk about God. I'm almost done. And so that has already started. And he sent us a type of Osiris, and that, of course, is Donald Trump. And he's making havoc throughout the New World Order. I mean, he's taking them down everywhere. He's bringing peace into the world. He's bringing our nation, bringing it, making us great again. And he's encouraging other nations to do the same thing. Hey, let's not fight. Let's trade. Let's become, you know, economically strong. Let's do business together. Why do we have to fight? Because it's always been them, these people that are in control of the world, the Leviathan, I'll call it. It's always been them that has controlled everything and causes all the wars. And because there's a lot of money in war. There's a lot of money in illness and sickness. There's a lot of money in putting people in prison. So anyway, the point is this. We're working diligently. When that federal court is, and because I do believe that he's going to get rid of all these federal judges, they got to go. They got to go. They're all guilty of treason, every single one of them. Just the fact that you can't open a court of record in their court, that's it. They're out of here. And we've sent such papers to Trump on this, and he is talking about this. Not that we changed his mind. I'm sure he may have been already on the game with this, but he's seeing that the people, that's why we sent it to. And if he didn't know this, well, we're letting him know this. So we sent those papers to him. Now, if he takes out these federal judges and puts in judges that will honor their oath, judges who will resurrect the law, okay, the law of the land, which is laws of nature and nature's God, it's called common law or natural law, and bring that back, and the rules of natural law also brought back even to equity, because equity is supposed to be that of justice, which brings us back to the rules of the common law, common sense with an eye on justice. So once we get that, now it's up to the people to do what they have to do. We can take back our state courts, because when we go in and we go after these people and they don't do the right thing and they start holding these civil law against us and they deny us our due process in a court of law, then we move it into federal court for cause. We teach people how to do that. That's why we created the education. Under Education Starts Here, you can come here, Court Access in the Common Law. You can take that course and you'll learn how to do this. We can go in, we can sue these people in a federal court for denial of due process. We can even push it to a point of even having these people removed because they violated the rights of the people. And of course, you get them for restitution. You know, I always look for $1,000 in face value of Morgan silver dollars. That's about 30 or 40 thousand. I don't know what the price of silver is at the moment, but you know, it is a $30,000 for each thousand on each individual. You got the prosecutor or whatever the lawyers in there. You can go for all of them, and the judge, of course, and for every injury they've given you, you know, you can get two or three injuries by two or three people. That's like $9,000 in face value. 9 times 270,000 in face value. Okay, actually it's 9,000 face value.
Well, for those of us who don't think Big Daddy Trump is going to do anything to help us, because he would have already, and he hasn't apologized for warp speed. He hasn't apologized for sending billions to AIPAC and Israel. but he hasn't also sent anything to our own people to help us. And the people that say that he would have restored equity already if he was going to. Hold on. No, I'm not. I'm just saying the people that are listening who don't believe Big Daddy Trump is here to save us, what can those people do themselves? So, like, the three best contracts or three best notices to establish their own personal privatization or bring equity upon themselves, because we talk a lot about sovereignty, we talk a lot about individual actions, and the people need to educate themselves, and they need to interact, and they need to engage in this. So I love the fact that a lot of people are hopeful at what's going on upstairs, but for those of us who don't want to wait around and have people in D.C. give us our rights back, we want to take it.
How are you going
to take it? What can we do to make that happen ourselves?
You can't take it the way you're talking. I understand what you're saying. Look, I was born free. I was born in this republic, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You just got done saying that you can't go into the court and get equity. Go into the court and get equity, so how are you free? How do you have rights?
Because
so what I'm asking is, what are three documents people can do to start their individual sovereignty process and not have to wait around for someone who's claiming to bring equity back, but we haven't seen any signs of that?
Okay, first of all, equity ultimately identifies with legislative law, okay? Law is common law, natural law. All other law is equity law. It's legislated law. And so equity does identify with justice, but equity ultimately, constitutional meaning-wise, is legislative law under common law. That's what equity is in this nation. It may not be that in another nation, because remember, we're the only true common law nation. Okay, a common law republic. But let me go back here. This takes time to do. What you're suggesting, and I know what you're suggesting, okay, you can't accomplish the goals unless, first of all, you'd have to get 40, 50 people or whatever in every county across America do exactly what you're saying, and then what? Then what? What's going to do?
You know, well, then why are we all on this call just talking?
Hold on. Let me finish, and you can talk after I'm finished. It's a good conversation, and I want to engage this conversation. But let me finish my points here, okay? And I know it's long-winded, but there's no simple way or short way to say it. People are used to tweets, and they get frustrated because it's not said in a tweet. Well, you can't have liberty in a tweet. You can't have a nation back in a tweet. Now, first of all, Trump has got to really compromise a lot of different things, because he's dealing with evil. He's dealing with people that are not Christian-minded, because Christian-minded people are very different than any other-minded people, okay? So he's not dealing with, people who are on the same page with him, okay? Look at the great, big, beautiful bill, and look at what Musk went insane over this thing, because he didn't understand. He had to compromise. He wasn't in Congress. He can't control Congress. He can't control the Democrats. There's got to be some compromise in there for to accomplish something, and the enemies are also in the Republican Party. It's not just the Democrats. So there has to be that compromise. What he wanted to make sure was the things that he needed to make us economically strong, to bring a lot of things back, to make America great. He wanted those things into that bill. But everyone else will bitch and moan and complain, oh, but he did this or he did that. First of all, he didn't do it. He just approves the bill. He had to push the weight with the stick to get out there to really get his the things he needed to accomplish his goals into that bill. And that's what he did. And it's the same thing with dealing with any nation. We can't make nations be good. We can't make nations do the right thing. We can't make nations be Christian. And by the way, most nations on the globe are all Christian focused. There's a lot of Christianity. You know, a lot of Christianity in Russia. As a matter of fact, percentage-wise, there may be more in Russia than there is in America today. We're down in like the low 70%. Russia is up more in the 80%. So they, if I remember this correctly, so they've got a lot of Christians too. But so Russia really is a good group of people to work with, because they're tired of the New World Order themselves, and that's what really brought Trump and Putin together. Okay, to some degree, they are working together to a major degree to get rid of this New World Order, and there are other nations working also doing the same thing. You know, but going back to what we're talking about here, We have to win our courts back. Then it's up to the people to take our courts back on the local level. People need to be trained. Remember, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. We have to put these people, either remove them from their positions in judgeship. We have to execute the 13th Amendment and get that going. So every judge has got to leave. We got to get rid of the bar schools, educating these people that go into our courts and have taken control of our courts. And we have to teach these people, you know, these lawyers, they've already got the due process down. They're just bringing in the wrong things. So now all they have to do is go get an education in common law. They can come here to get that. And it's really, common law is no more difficult than really understanding common law is common sense with an eye on justice. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. So you win back a couple of courts in one state, believe me, the rest of these people are going to straighten up, number one. But once we execute and get that 13th Amendment back, guess what? We just got rid of every judge in every state across America. And this is the plan, to take these people out of power, put good people. And then how do these people get replaced? Well, they get elected. And who elects them? The people elected. Who puts them onto ballot? The people put it. You have to do it. If you're going to let these political parties do it, then we're just going to be back again to the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. We're back to the same old business again. So it's up to the people. There is no other way, no other way to save this nation. There is no other way.
I love what you're saying. So what are the three things? What are the three things our listeners can do today themselves to help move this forward?
They have to start a committee of safety. Start to get educated, and to encourage other people in the neighborhood to come together to talk about it, to learn what's going on, get them out to National Liberty Alliance, and execute the same thing. And that gets us back to start a committee of safety. And if you follow the breadcrumb trail, you'll eventually land on this page, which is handbooks, documents, videos, and PowerPoints. And these videos here, which are Rumble video points, but Rumble's down right now, these videos here will educate people on what you will get information on, the written information in Microsoft Word. We've got PowerPoints, we've got MP4 videos, we've got PDFs, we've got handbooks, we've got a handbook on how to create a committee of safety, how it's organized, how to get a charter together, resolution. We got handbooks on resolution, handbook on charter. We have a two-sided flyer to try to encourage people to take a look at what we're doing. You can hand it out in your county, you can make your own flyers. We all take a vow to the governor of the universe, and then we bring together a seal. That's the structure, okay, of what we're doing. Then everything else is an education. And if you go through all these PDFs and these MP3s and these MP4s and words and also PowerPoints, you will become totally educated. If you go to our education here and you come down to our courses, we have a foundation course, we have a constitutional course 101, we have a free civics course, we have government by consent course, we have a militia course, we have a jury administrator's accredited course. So it's all about education and forming a committee of safety within your county, working together to take this nation back. We are free and independent. What they did was a crime. We, the people, ordained and established this nation. We established this government. We established this declaration, this Constitution, for them to be obedient to. Think about those words. We, the people, ordained and established for these people to be obedient to it, and they didn't. They broke everything. They changed. They put everything upside down. They've taken everything out, and they put their own powers and authority in them. We need to remove them. This is what Trump is doing. This is what the people need to do, and this is how we then get back. We don't need to do anything. We are already free. I am a citizen of the United States. The citizen of the United States. The word citizen is used 7 times in the Constitution. 7 times. It's not a dirty word. They made it a dirty word. I'm a citizen of this natural law republic. Okay, so I'm a citizen of this, and I'm a citizen of New York, particularly. Okay, but if I go to New Jersey, I get all the rights of New Jersey citizenship, whatever's going on. I get all the rights, everything there. It doesn't matter. I can become a New Jerseyan or a Connecticutan or whatever you want to call it, any other state, just by crossing the line and planting myself there and rented a house, building a house, whatever I want to do, get a business going, go to work, what, I become a citizen of that state. But we're all citizens of the United States ultimately, because we have the equal powers and we have all of the rights and everything, no matter where we go in this great nation of ours. So we don't have to write a paper, a declaration of who we are. We don't have to do that. And you know what? By doing all that, I'm telling you right now, you go into the courts and you start talking about this. You refuse to go past the bar. You talk about the man on the land. You talk about your declaration that you made. And all they're doing is laughing at you. First of all, they don't understand most of it. On the federal level, they might. But they don't understand what you're even talking about. They think you're a nut to begin with. That's what they think. I know that's not true, but that's what
they're trained to think that.
Yeah. So they think that to begin with. So you do all these things. You walk into that court, you click your heels, and you think you're going to be transported into a court of justice. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. They're going to maintain the status quo. It doesn't matter what you say, what you think, or what you do. They will crap all over you, and they do it. I've been in hundreds of court cases, and I'm telling you, they do it every single time. And that's okay, because we've been just building the case against them. They have proven conspiracy across America, because no matter what, we've been in courts on a lot of states, whether it's Texas, California, Ohio, New Jersey, New York, Maine, Massachusetts, it doesn't matter where we're at, and we've been in all those courts. And they all do the same thing. They all break the same law in the same way. And that proves conspiracy. And that's why we filed the indictment on every federal judge in America, every single federal judge. And we put it to the Supreme Court. And we sent presentments to the Supreme Court. And we filed our papers with Bondi and with the president and his administration. So all of this has been done. It's all so it's a matter of time. And it's a matter of really pressing towards the mark. It's a time of educating. It's a time of organizing. And it's a time coming up very soon to take back this nation. And if the people don't take back the nation, then they don't deserve liberty. They don't deserve America great again. They just don't deserve it. They'll have it for a little time, but then their children are going to die under the same thing, because they'll be back to where they started from, because psychopaths and sociopaths always are drawn to the powers. They will always get, and they will come in, and a lot of them, they seem like nice people, but they are evil people. A lot of these people don't have any conscience. All they have is whatever it is that they want to accomplish. It's usually money and power and authority, and that's all they're interested in, okay? And if the people aren't watching and doing what they have to do, we're right back here again. Only a matter of time.
Yeah, so to recap, I love it. To recap, engage in a sense, educate ourselves on constitutional law. You call it natural law. I love that. And have a relationship with your local sheriff and enforce equity, which right. You use common law. I use a different word. That's okay. But let me one last question. How is your approach with the president different than Ted Turner, and why is it going to be a different outcome? And with that,
We've established the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. It took us a long time to do that. Went to every county in America. Not necessarily. There are certain counties we didn't go to. You know, a lot of places in Alaska and so on. And even up in the Northeast and Maine, there's places where not many people are even there. But generally speaking, we went, a group of us, and we went throughout America. And we brought up the idea of what we're doing. We got people to agree, and what we did is we called it constituted. We constituted these counties. Might have been 2, 3, 4 counties at a time, but we got people from these counties, and we constituted them. Then we encouraged those people to come together and create, working together within their states with other people doing the same, and create the Unified State Common Law Grand Jury. So they got the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, the Unified New Jersey, the Unified California, Unified Texas, Pennsylvania, whatever. Every state in this union, including Alaska and including Hawaii, has constituted a Unified State Common Law Grand Jury within their states. Then all those states, they got their seals, And they came together, so we have 50 seals, hopefully 51 soon, but 50 seals, okay? And then we came together to form the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So we work as a group throughout the whole nation. We're not just a couple of people here in the corner of some little place in New York. No, we are in every state of this union. So we have accomplished that goal. It took us years to accomplish that goal. We did accomplish that goal, and now we go out and we file papers. We file indictments. We file. It doesn't matter that they don't obey it. Like I told you, you know, we are creating a record of their crime. The fact that they don't listen to the people, the fact that they don't obey the Constitution, the fact that they take all this funny money, all these things. We habeas corpus. They've shot down every habeas corpus we filed. We filed hundreds of them. And this is over the course of years. We've been doing this over 15 years now. Now, we've accomplished that goal, so we come in with clout, okay? And when we send papers, we send presentments to the United States Supreme Court, except for the last one. They have been receiving all of them. I have to deal with that one soon. But we've sent the presentments to the president. And when we send it to anybody, we send copies to 45 individuals, the people in Trump's administration and other people around Trump, okay? So, you know, Bondi is one of them, of course, you know. And she's the attorney general. Okay, so we've copied all of them. We're expecting and intending on them to be obedient and to follow the law. We are, and this is something they may not understand, but we're trying to educate them to understand them. We don't need their permission for anything. We are free and independent. We are sovereign. They are not. When they act within their office, they are not sovereign. They have certain authority that we gave them, and those authorities have guidelines. It has boundaries that they cannot break that boundary. And when they step outside of their authority, that's when we can get them. And they've all stepped out of that authority. You know, that's one of the things that I don't know if President Trump understands this, and he may be just saying this because it's kind of strange the way he worded this or responded to this. You know, can Obama claim that he's sovereign, that he's, got sovereign immunity? And he said, well, he might. So that doesn't mean, I don't know how to take that, okay? Because the way he worded it, I think, is really like, well, he might claim it, but he can't have it. Because I kind of believe Trump understands you can't go into the presidency, office of the presidency, or even a governor, okay, and then go out and break the law. Because remember, nobody's above the law. The president isn't above the law. We gave him powers. We gave him authority. Operate within that structure, you're good. Even if there's something goes wrong with that, you can't be held liable for that because you do have that immunity, not sovereign immunity, because they got their sovereign immunity or sovereignty really is outside of that office. When they're not working and they're out in the public and doing whatever they're doing in their life, but when they're exercising the authority that we gave them of that office, okay, they can't step outside. They step outside. That's it. They're guilty of whatever. No doubt these people are guilty of treason. They've killed people. They've murdered people. They've done evil things. They've let things go on that shouldn't be going on, okay? So they don't have it. Now, this is the education. People, it blows my mind that people think that nothing is going to happen now. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. Trump is trying to wake them up. Anybody who followed Q already knows about all this stuff. We've been educated back in 2018, 2019, I think 2017 too, the later part of it. But Q educated us. He told us what was going to happen. They laid everything out. And it's not he as in one individual. Q is the highest level of security. It's military intelligence. And Q is operating and giving information to the people. And now, everything that Q has said has come to fruition right now as we live and speak. Because, and in Q, again, a group of people, in Q, okay, Q said numerous times, future proves past. In other words, they were not talking about 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. No, they were talking about our day right now. They were talking about 2025. They were talking about what was going to happen, and it's very uncanny on how accurate they were in their understanding and perception of what is going to happen today as we speak. So there is a plan, and Q kept telling us, trust the plan. He also told us, trust Session, and I think we can trust Barr also. They look like enemies. I know they do, but Q told us particularly to trust Session. Turns out Sessions has been really working in the background. And then we have Durham. Durham came out with this really no powerful statement and report that really didn't do much of anything. It did bring forth the fact that, you know, there doesn't appear to be Russian connection with Trump and so on. But now Durham is surfacing again. What have these people been doing all this time? It's been 8 years, 9 years. What have they been, 10 years, well, so 8 years maybe. So what have they been doing? Well, they've been working on indictments. There's over almost a 500,000 indictments throughout the United States that are sealed and ready to be opened. What we're watching right now is just little bits of droppings, okay, coming out, and it's going to build up. Eventually, it's going to be a leak. Eventually, it's going to be a flood, and it's going to be a massive flood. People are not going to believe what they are going to hear, what's coming up. So anyway, I'll give you a final word and got to move on. It's getting late here. You still with us, Caleb?
Yes, I'm here with you. Thank you.
All right, well, you got a final word, and we can talk more next week if you want.
Oh, no, I believe I've taken enough time. Thank you for the discussion, and thank you to everyone listening. Please take action republic back.
We appreciate that. And this was an important conversation, an important call, because I think we covered a lot. And hopefully we got the message out to what we are doing here at National Liberty Alliance to save this republic. And the people need to step up. And what we need help with the most right now, what National Liberty Alliance needs the most, is for people to go out there and get a hold of different people and podcasters, the different podcasters that's really doing some good work out there, and try to get us an interview. Get that information to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. If you can make a contact and a phone number and give it to Jan, Jan will set up an arrangement where I can go onto their podcast and talk, because we need to get this message out to a broader group of people beyond, you know, what we have going here at NLA. Okay, thanks, Kaylee. We'll go to Kathy. We don't have too much time left, I apologize, but we have 10 minutes, so we'll try to do what we can. Kathy, you got the mic.
Thank you. My situation is hard to explain, but I would also like Eric to call me. Should I? I've been, for the past few months, I've been calling him. What's the best way for me to get a hold of Eric?
Well, send an email.
Do I send an email to him at National Liberty Alliance and with
right.
my phone send number?
It, okay. Yeah, send it to Eric at nationallibertyalliance.org. And he can get it. I'm sure he'll get back to you.
Okay, then the other thing, I'll do my best to try to explain my situation. So,
right, but we can't get into a case right now because we only got 8 minutes left. We got two other people, but
well,
we can pick up on it maybe next week if you want.
I think Eric will be able to help me then if he'll get back to me.
All right, and if you want, we could talk next week. Get into the call early as soon as the queue opens up. We'll
talk. Thank you so much, John. I yield.
Thank you. Okay, our next person is Anonymous. Can you give us your first name and your state, Anonymous?
Yes, good evening. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm calling from Arizona.
Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for all your good work, sir. We've got quite a mess on our hands, but I think there's so much to learn. One of the things... I just want to say this. I just want to say that most Americans, and I'm an average American, but I also am one of these people who I'm self-taught, and I dive into this stuff, and I'm also a student of the Bible. The King James, by the way, is distinctive, but I really. It's like people to really attract, it's got to be the truth. And, you know, it's so easy to fall back into this. It sound, you know, at first glance, it's like you got to sign up. And I know you're doing all this work, and I'm not belittling it at all. But in order to reach people, because people don't believe in anything anymore, and we need to reset our hearts. I mean, our country was built on a spiritual basis, And, of course, the Jesuits came in and put religion in the Bill of Rights so that they could have, you know, wreak havoc. And that's another discussion. But, you know, it's like I was talking to a woman not too long ago who years ago, there are a lot of people who have been trying to put this puzzle together, but to take the real Constitution for the United States of America, including the 1791 is when they added the Bill of Rights, and to realize who we are. I mean, we think we're nothing. And I mean, most of us are sitting around in clothes that were made in another country that fall apart after 6 months. And it's like we don't have any sense of any value. And this is where I believe that we've got to find the spirit of the Constitution. We've got to find the law, that the law is actually a living thing. And we don't, you know, they've turned God into a sideshow. And I mean, who's they? Well, this is part of these dynasties that have come in and messed with our faith in God, in our ability to learn and our take interest in things. And you know, we could go on and on with this. It's so much, but we need to find the heart of these people. And I'm not sure that I understand what you're saying, and I have tried to be, you know, I have sat with groups, and I just so don't seem to ask the right questions. But it's like we can't manipulate people into doing this, and there is so much fear and so much deceit that if we aren't able to reach our own hearts, you know, because I don't know about you, but in myself. Learning about myself, the biggest thing I'm afraid of is myself. Not so much now, because I've admitted it, and then a big part of it has to do with admitting my faults. What was my part in this? You know, even as I'm 70, but you know, I got just the nip of the ringer of the new education, and it affected my love of reading at a young age. So it's like I let them do that. But I didn't know, and the whole thing about wanting to be in a group, that's great. But I have to be sovereign, and I have to be unafraid, or I cannot. You know, I have to be able to not be part of, but to bring my own life that God gave me to something like, you know, to the Constitution. And when I heard that, you know, judges are not supposed to judge. You know, they are just like us. We're not supposed to, we're not supposed to refer to them with any reverence. And, you know, and the lawyers, I'm just thinking I'm going to have to be my own counsel. If the judge has not taken the oath, and if they say they have, and then they violate, you know, what they're doing is violating my constitutional rights. It might be some statute or something that they made up. Then he needs to be told to step down in a respectful, firm way. And we have to know how to do that. Because, I mean, this is like, we cannot go in like, oh, we're so grateful. Somebody else is doing this for us and we don't have to think about it. No, we have to. You know, it's our souls that have to come forward and go, look, you know, I need to reset my heart. I need to understand what it is to be a real American. I mean, I am a constitutionalist now. I'm finding out. And I am an American citizen. And I am not, I'm not under anybody. The only one I am under is God. And I've got to get my heart set on that. But this religion stuff has just messed us up. So we can set that to the side gently, with all respect, and ask God to show us the real way. And, you know, the Constitution, from what I'm seeing, I mean, the Ninth Amendment is something that I'm trying to learn about, because it's anything that the Founding Fathers left out in the other amendments there's room right there for it. And
they never expected to put it all down, and that's what the Ninth Amendment gives us. Anything you want to do, as long as you don't injure another person, you can do. And
well, I mean, but you know, the thing is, like, I know right from wrong because I had a grandma who loved God, and she wasn't radical about it, but her eyes lit up. And she was fascinated with God instead of afraid of God. And so when I hear this, common sense cannot exist in me unless I practice right and wrong. And I can practice law with my neighbor, you know. And I mean, I'm living in a place where our government is totally on its ear, and I don't, you know, the law enforcement, like,
Let me respond to some of that. We're running out of time, and
I know.
I'll respond, and then I'll give you a final word, and then we got one of the.
I don't need a response here. I just appreciate being able to say that, and I just want you to know that we have to be inspired. We need to be moved from inside. These people, you know, they're worried right now about their whatever, you know, they're in a survival mode. We have to know that God can take us beyond that. And, you know, it's God will protect us if we're under the blood of Christ. That's just, and it's so like, oh, you know, because we've been programmed to react that way because it's some other God that they've named God. And it's like, it's crazy. So I just appreciate you letting me express that, dear. I don't need anything. I just I appreciate the opportunity to say that.
Right. Well, look, I pretty much agree with just about everything you said there. So it's well said, and I appreciate it. You've expressed a lot of the views we already have here. And, you know, one of the things you said is how, you know, how do we do it? We do have a course here. Under Education Starts Here. And if you come down to Court Access in the Common Law and you click on that, uh-huh. This is a course, okay? It'll teach you how to be able to take care of your own business in the court. Look at, they say, they try to tell you that only, I forget how they put it, but they try to convince you that you should not represent yourself. You should get someone else to represent you for you.
Well, that's old stuff. That's the corporate law.
Exactly.
They want to take the law out of our hands, out of our hearts. And they just want to make money on us. Their job is to make money in the courts. It's a bank.
Right. Well, let me finish what I'm saying here. So you know what they've done is they try to say that only an idiot or moron, I don't know what words they use, but something of that nature would represent themselves. Okay. But nobody knows the case better than you. Now I would tell you if you're in for a criminal thing, if the criminal against you. I would want to get a good lawyer, not a bar attorney, but a good lawyer, but I wouldn't give them full reign over my case. And I would want to look at everything that they
They'll
might write down and everything
in
position there. But, well, yes, right now they will, but we need to get it back to where it should be. Because these people, no judge should judge. You know, these people are servants, our servants. A servant can't judge the master. We're the masters, they're the servant. And it always has been the people needs to decide, okay? And that's where the jury comes in. And what people don't realize, in a court of record, there is no judge. There's a magistrate, and a magistrate maintains order in the court, keeps things focused, keeps things moving. But they can't restrict whatever people want to bring into the court as evidence. They can't restrict those things, and they can't make summary judgment on anybody. The final word comes back to the people. We are judged by the people, and that's a biblical thing. That's common law. And that's the way it needs to be. And people should, even if you can't articulate yourself well, you should know these things, because if you do hire a lawyer, hopefully not a bar lawyer, we need to get rid of all bar lawyers, but if you did hire a lawyer to help you, to represent you to some degree, you don't want to give them free rein of the case. You want to be a partnership with this, and you need the final word. I'm not going that route. This is the way we're going to do it. I'm not saying those words. No, this is the way it's got to be. You see, you got to control your own case. But in any event, we do have a course. It's a 90-hour course. Under Education Starts Here, you come down to Court Access in the Common Law, click on that, and read this page. And it pretty much lays out what this course is all about, what we cover. And then over here, right now Rumble is down, but I'll see if it opens up. But anyway, right here, there's the first 90 minutes, or the first first part of the course, let me think if it's 90 minutes long. I think it is 90 minutes, 30, or maybe, no, it's 3 hours. Each one of these sessions is 3 hours long. But anyway, you can get the first 3 hours for free to see the flavor of this particular course, to make a decision on whether you want to take this course. And, you know, you'll spend $100,000, $200,000 to get an education to be able to be a lawyer, okay? These people spend a lot of money to do that. And, you know, this course is $125, and I believe this course is better than any course they give, because we cover the common law. We lay out the process. We look into the Constitution, the constitutions of the states. We do have an appreciation for the equity to be used against them, which is legislative law, to apply against them, not against us. They can't use that against us because we're not operating commercial activity, unless we are at the time. And we're not working for any government agency, so equity doesn't apply to the people. Only the law applies to the people, and that law is common law. So anyway, we teach this course, and we teach due process, and that's what all lawyers know. All lawyers do know due process. They do teach them that. So any bar attorney out there that wants to back out of their bar,
they all protect each other.
Hold on, I want to finish this, though. This is important. Anybody, any attorney that's out there that wants to back out of their bar relationship, okay?
Not a bad idea.
And practice law, because they already know due process, okay? Mm-hmm. And then work for the people instead of for the judge, because that's what they're doing.
We have no due process right now. We have nothing without...
Yeah, but I understand that the point is that's what we're working to get back courts of law. And then, you know, all these lawyers can still come back in. They just got to get rid of their bar connection, number one, and to come to an understanding of what common law, what natural law actually is, which is very simple, and they should pick it up pretty quickly as long as they yield to it. These judges won't, these lawyers won't yield to it, at least not now in this environment. If they're forbidden from coming into our courts because they're coming in with a title of honor, it's called Esquire. Okay, all lawyers are Esquires. That's a title of honor that brings them right to the British accredited,
It's all BS. It's so that we'll bow to them. You know, we've been trained to bow to badges and everything. You know, it's like this, we've gotten lost. You know, we don't... Yeah. And you know, we can learn all this stuff, and it's important to learn the basics, right? But if I can't stand up inside,
listen, I'm trying to bring this conversation to an end, because we have one other person, 6 minutes over.
Go ahead.
If you want, okay. But ultimately, looking, we have to apply. There is the 13th Amendment. I don't know if you're familiar with the 13th Amendment, which forbids anyone with the title of honor. Or was it a title of honor? And what's the other one? I forget the word. The other one. The one we want to be concerned with is mostly the honor, okay? Because an esquire is a title of honor, and you can't come into our courts, and you cannot hold a public office if you come in and you have a title of honor. So they have to break their ties with the bar. And if they break their ties with the bar, they already understand due process. So all they have to do is come to understand the common law, because only then will they focus in on the common law. And this one-third, giving one-third of your monies to a lawyer is ridiculous. That's an obscene amount of money. These people, they don't deserve that. Especially, they don't deserve it at all anyway, the way they fight your cases, because they take you into the civil law. There's no court of record, and it's all destructive, and at the end of the day, they're going to be obedient to the judge above all. And so that case will be run not very well. All right, but anyway, I appreciate all your thinking and positions that you made. We hold pretty much everything you said, so we're in agreement here. And we need to come together as a people, but we need to get educated. If you want to be able to defend yourself, you take this course. I think it's 125 or 150. I forget what it is. But it's well worth it. It's 90 hours. And we give you all the tools and papers. And you have access to these videos all the time. You can take your time. You can move as fast as you want. You can come back 3 years from now and take courses again. You can do whatever you want with that. We've got lots of downloads. We've got a tremendous amount of things on this course. Okay? And so people can learn how to take care of their business, and they need to. As a matter of fact, we need to do, and I do have one other person that's willing to work with me on this. You know, I'm an author. I'm working on my 16th book right now. And there's another author I know, Brent Allen Winters. He's written numerous books. He wrote a book called The Excellence of the Common Law. I learned a lot from that book. I found his book some years back in the beginning. So I learned a lot from his book. And we've agreed that if we can get the monies to be able to do this, and we can look for, there's a couple of other people that we'd like to pull into this that are authors and have a background, especially in the Constitution, especially in common law, and who we are as a people, our founding documents, and our founders. You know, so what we need to do is create books for schools. We need to give a proper education. And so we need to write books to get them into the schools from, you know, from kindergarten all the way up to the 12th grade. And let me tell you something. The education people got 100 years ago was already beyond a high school education, beyond a high school, even touching into college level with eighth grade. And we have a test up here. You can go take a look on the page under Starter Committee of Safety. You come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And under here we have a test from 1895, I think it is. And I don't think anybody that's listening here and tonight would be able to pass that test. It's a really, really, a test. Here it is, test grade, 1895. Now, what we need to do, if we give our children a real education, and in 12 years, they would have a college education. Now, of course, they would need a further education for a doctrine, okay? But as far as the basic of a college education, they should be able to have easily within 12 years, and we should be able to teach our children how to take care of their own business in courts. They should be able to take care, be able to represent themselves, to go in and make the argument, to be able to write papers and file papers and do whatever they need to do. They also need to get participate in government by consent within their counties, and they need to understand that they need to give back for the blessings that they're receiving that they were born into. Okay, they need all these things, but
they don't even know how to give consent.
No, they don't. But nobody is doing this. Nobody has this. We have the people to do it, but we don't have the funding to do it. Maybe one day someone will tune into us and they got some deep pockets and recognize, hey, here's a good place to throw some dollars because we need this. Because you see, one of our members, a friend of mine, said this to me. He said, let me tell you something about what we're doing here. John, I got good news for you. And, you know, he's talking sort of in general. He says, we got volunteers. But I also got bad news for you, too. We got volunteers. You see, you can't hold people's feet to the wire to get a job done and expect it and require it unless you're paying them. So we need to go professional. And also, you know, to spend time to write books. I mean, most of my books I can turn into textbooks. I know Brent Allen Winters, he can turn his books into textbooks too. And there's other individuals I know connected with NCCS, and they got a lot of books there. And they've already turned some of their books into textbooks, and they can turn all their books into textbooks. There's a book out there, The Making of America, a fabulous book. That should be a textbook, okay, to get it into the schools. And so we can do all those things if we have the funding. So we're kind of waiting, and if we get the funding, we'll do it. If we don't get the funding, we just can't do it, you know. Anyway, we could talk more if you want next week. I want to get Robert in. He's the last person on the call here. And,
thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate the call,
too. Have a good night.
You too. Okay, Robert, you got the mic from Texas. Go right ahead. We only got a couple of minutes, though.
Hey, John, one of our regular speakers at Commissioner's Court just got some funding of $500,000. He won a case against the county for shutting him down. Another thing is, I mentioned Tanawha Downey. He's on the road again, a Third Circuit, shooting for hitting 1,600. This is something your people can do, 1,600 counties to serve a notice. And he's got a 3-minute page that he's getting people to read. His goal is getting 1,600, and he's making good progress. 1,600.
Well, if he's got 1,600 counties, that's a big accomplishment. Maybe you can try to connect us, and maybe we can have a private conversation, him and I, and maybe we could work together and work through educating the people in those counties to get committees of safety going, because that would be people that are active.
Well, the thing is, Supreme Court's going to open September 1st. He's going to serve those 2 million affidavits. And then he also wanted to put this, had that with him on September 1st. So he's got like 4 days. And I told him I'd do 5 counties here. And I've got the script, and it's 3 minutes. You just read it. Talks about.
Why don't you see if you can, if he's interested in having a conversation with me, and he can send an email to me through mail at nationallibertyalliance.org and give me his phone number. Yeah. He's interested, and I'll talk with him, because look at, if he's got 1,600 counties, you know, doing something
that's his goal, but he's got. Quite a few people that are kicking.
Well, whatever he's got, if he's working with counties and he's working with people in various counties, you know, we can give them a better education too, a greater education, and we can also assist them in how to create committees of safety within their counties. And because this is the only way, there is, and I challenge people all the time, and I'll make the challenge against tonight. If anybody knows of another way to have government by consent, I'm all ears. I'd like to hear it. Because you can't do it unless united we stand and divided we fall. We have to work within our counties. All political processes, not politics, we don't deal with politics. The political processes, all of that is local. It comes from the county level, from the town level.
Yeah. Well, this guy that normally speaks with us, he just won a judgment for $500,000. So, he's getting it done at the local level, and that's what Tanoa is wanting to do, making these notices to every county about how these states are rewriting the Constitution and denying due process of a presentment or an indictment by a grand jury. They're arresting people on information and violating the Fifth Amendment and the guarantee of indictment by a grand jury. So anyway, it's a good letter, and I'll probably be reading it tomorrow at 9:30 here.
And where is it online?
The following week. I'm sorry?
Where do we find this online?
Where do we what?
Where do we find the letter?
It's supposed to be online. I actually saw him Saturday night.
If you get a chance, when you find it, maybe just send an email to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and our leadership will get it, and we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, it'll be easier just for me to put it in an envelope and mail it to you. What's your address?
You can send it to 3979. Albany Post Road. Matter of fact, let me show you where you can find it. Well, I'll give it to you anyway. 3979 Albany Post Road.
Albany.
Albany Post Road. Three words.
Okay.
Suite 107.
Okay.
Hyde Park, New York.
H-Y-D-E.
Yep, two words. H-Y-D-E Park, New York.
Okay.
12538.
Okay, so that'd be the best thing. I'll just I'm getting pretty shut down on my Google account. I'm just not using it anymore. So I've been on a Chromebook ever since they invented the things. So anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, appreciate the call. Thanks, Robert.
Okay,
we've come to the end of our program for the night. Lord willing, we'll see you next. Monday. Oh, I did want to make note here. I was in the middle of that on a person before Robert here. And we do have Bible studies for those people who are interested in. You can find them. Education starts here. You can come down and click on Bible studies. And right now we just started the Gospel of John. We've recorded the Gospel of Matthew, and we've also recorded a study on the Book of Revelation. And those are all in video and audios. You can click on the links and get to them. And there's a lot of MP3 studies here. You know, I've got some old studies I did in Revelation some years back. And so I got that up here. And pretty much, you know, I've learned more since then. So I've been able to understand more verses since then than I did before. You know, the more time you spend in the Bible, the better, the more you grow. And, you know, I'm a student of the Bible about 45 years, and I've learned in the very beginning, by God's mercy, that the Bible is to be studied line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so the Bible is its own interpreter. The Bible is its own dictionary. And we have to have a spiritual mind. And the Bible will give us that spiritual mind as we look at things. And God teaches us how to see the spiritual things in the Bible. So anyway, all of our studies teach with that, you know, basic idea in mind, which is the first principles of biblical studies. But again, we have lots and lots of studies here. And we have a couple of different teachers up here. Beside myself, from, you know, studies of some years back. But anyway, we're right now in the Gospel of John. If you want to join us, we do that Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Click on, Gospel According to John. Just click on that, and here's the instructions to join us right here in this room. And we just started this, so we only have one video up here. So it's Gospel of John, Part 1. And after John, I think we'll be doing some topical studies, maybe. I'm not sure where we're going to go from there. All right, with that, good night, everybody. Thanks for your time, and Lord willing, we'll hopefully see you on Monday again, 9 p.m. Good night.